We'd have to say this is the birthday of the year. More things have been bought from the shops this month than in any other month of the year. More food is going to be eaten today than on any other day of the year. 9 out of 10 Australians will be celebrating Christmas in some way, including coming to church. Today is the biggest day of the year for church attendance. 1 in 5 Australians, when surveyed, said they were going to come to church on Christmas Day. And so I guess it's to be expected that in these last few weeks we've had shepherds and wise men and angels appearing on shop fronts and on cards and on TV, and plenty of Santa and elves and reindeer as well. And that's because for 21st century Australia, Christmas is actually a big deal. Which is actually very interesting, because for the next few minutes, I want us to think through one simple fact that came up in our Bible readings, and I want us to especially look at the last of those Bible readings, where in Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, we see a little glimpse of Jesus during his adult life on earth, and we see that at that time, the story of his birth in Bethlehem was mostly unknown. That's interesting. In Mark's gospel, in Mark's story of Jesus, there's actually nothing written about Jesus' birth. For Mark, we meet Jesus just like most of the people of his own time met him, as a 30-year-old man. And so let me draw your attention to three things that we notice from these verses in Mark. And then after that, we'll think through two ways that this might apply to us at Christmas in 2016. So what does it say in those few verses in Mark? It says, first of all, Jesus left where he'd been and he went to his hometown. Now, where was Jesus' hometown? Did you pick that up? Where was Jesus' hometown? Where was the place that he called home? Was it Bethlehem? No, he'd only lived there for a very short time as a baby. His hometown that's referred to in this story is Nazareth. The first appearance of Jesus we get in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 1 verse 9, just says, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. Now, throughout his adult life, Jesus was known as Jesus of Nazareth, not Jesus of Bethlehem. And so it's not as if people saw Jesus when he came to their town to teach and they went, "Oh, I remember. Oh, shepherds, wise men, manger, you're that guy." No, actually, most people never knew that story until very much later. And I think that's actually how things often happen. I was preaching at a funeral last week, and as I was speaking at the funeral, I mentioned that the man who had died was born one of twins. And when I said that, some of the grandkids were really surprised. That story had never been passed on to them in the family. Often the story of where someone came from doesn't really come out until they've died. And until people went back and said, "Mary, tell us how this all started." The second thing that we notice in this passage in Mark is that when Jesus began teaching in the synagogue, the people were actually really surprised at how powerful his teaching was. And they were surprised because they knew him as one of their local tradesmen. They said, "Isn't this the carpenter? When it says carpenter, that could mean someone who makes furniture. Even more likely, it would have meant someone who built houses. And there's nothing unusual about a Jewish teacher being a builder. In fact, they were expected to have some sort of trade. But the thing that surprises the people of Nazareth is that it's their carpenter. Their carpenter is coming along and saying, hey, my arrival is bringing in for you the kingdom of God. In recent years, they've dug up the ancient town of Nazareth. It turns out it was a little tiny village up in the hills. It would have had 500 people living in it at the very most. So think about that. Little tiny town. Everyone knows everyone. And it seems that the people of Nazareth didn't like the idea that one of our own has some special position before God that we don't have. He should know his place, shouldn't he? It's interesting. The way they react to him shows that Jesus' life in Nazareth for 20-something years, Jesus' life in Nazareth up until the point where he went public and started teaching about God's kingdom, Jesus' life had been fairly unremarkable, which is different to, we have some fictional stories that are not from the Bible that were written later, which paint Jesus as a miracle worker all through his life who did magic tricks as a kid. But the gospel says, no, he just went quietly about his business for the first 30 years. Okay, third thing we can notice, they call him the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, and at least two sisters. So, big family that he came from. Interesting that they call him the son of Mary rather than the son of Joseph, as he got called in other places. The normal way to speak of him would be to say, this is the son of Joseph. So, what's going on there? Is it that the people of Nazareth knew there was something unusual about how Mary got pregnant? Because she was in Nazareth when she got pregnant? Or is it simply that Joseph has died at this stage and Jesus is her carer? Either way, the fact that the people were offended at him suggests that calling him son of Mary wasn't a compliment. And so this is the Jesus that most people of his day met. This is a Jesus whose birth wasn't known, wasn't celebrated, and yet he still called people to have faith in him. He still came to people and said, God's kingdom comes through me. And so, what's the relevance of these facts for Christmas in 2016? Well, I want to suggest two lessons that we can take away. There's a do and there's a don't, and we'll begin with the don't. Now, the don't is don't successfully celebrate Christmas, but fail to accept Jesus. Because Christmas is a big deal in our culture, Christmas actually wasn't a big deal to Jesus. And in fact, you'll find that nowhere in the Bible do we have instructions where God tells us you have to celebrate Christmas. What I mean is that when we stand before God at the end of our life, God is not going to pull out his list and ask you how much you got into the Christmas spirit. He's not going to say, okay, did you put up a tree with lights? Tick. Did you buy presents for every member of your extended family and your children's cricket coach? And tell me, what did you do with your Christmas pudding? Did you pop the bonbon and put a hat on? That's not what God's going to ask us about. He's going to ask us, how did you respond to my son? He's going to say, I revealed myself in the world through my own son. And so did you listen to his teaching where he said, love God with all your heart, love your neighbour as yourself? Did you pay attention to that? And did you trust in his death to cover your sins? Did you trust in his resurrection to bring you new life? Because that's the focus of the Gospels. I've mentioned Mark doesn't tell us about the story of Jesus' birth. That doesn't mean he didn't know about it. He just didn't feel the need to start at that point. He wrote 10 chapters about Jesus' adult life and then 6 chapters about the last week of Jesus' life, just like John's Gospel. When John wrote his eyewitness account of Jesus, he spends half of his Gospel writing about the final week of Jesus' life, how he died for sins and he rose again. That's the focus. So what am I saying? Am I suggesting that we should take the Ebenezer Scrooge approach and say that Christmas and the birth of Jesus is meaningless? Not at all. The two other Gospels, Matthew and Luke, they tell us about the birth of Jesus, and what they write does enhance our faith, enhance our understanding of who Jesus is. But the birth is actually only important if we accept what is written about the adult life of Jesus. Otherwise, it's just another birth. The birth of Jesus is not the good news, the gospel. The birth of Jesus is an introduction to the teaching and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Now, although I'm expressing this as a negative, as a don't, this fact actually might be a bit of a relief for some of you. The fact that God doesn't expect you to have the perfect Christmas. God doesn't say you have to get Christmas right. No, he just says, come as you are, put your trust in Jesus, and that's enough for me. Murray Campbell says it like this: Christmas is optional, Jesus isn't. Because Christmas is, in fact, a cultural celebration, despite what Peter Dutton might say. In our history books, the first mention of Christmas comes about 300 years after the time of Jesus. December the 25th comes from a Roman holiday. He probably wasn't actually born on December the 25th. We don't really know. In the earliest days of following Jesus, Christmas just wasn't a thing. Now, if our culture wants to take a day off and have a public holiday to focus on the birth of Jesus, fantastic. We're free to enjoy that. We're free to take the opportunity to remind one another, to remind our community of the wonderful truth that God became man to save us. Just like next week, we'll be free to thank God for a new year. 26th of January. We'll be free to throw, 26th of January, free to throw a shrimp on the barbecue and remember that life in Australia is a gift from God. We're free. We can enjoy it, but it's not a have to. And so enjoy today. Enjoy whatever you're doing in the afternoon and in your Christmas celebrations. But don't let the expectation of it get on top of you. Okay. Second take-home message. Do recognise that God does momentous things, great things, which sometimes go unnoticed. Who knew that Christ was born in Bethlehem? Clearly a few people knew. Mary knew, Joseph knew, shepherds, wise men, even King Herod heard a rumour. But our passage in Mark told us that the general public didn't know. They didn't know what a huge thing was happening when Jesus was born. God never put out a press release saying, oh, at this time and this place, there's going to be a really important event and I want you to be there with cameras and notepads. God just did it. And he told whoever he wanted to tell. This means for us that we don't have to see spectacular things for God to be at work. We don't have to have visions of angels for God's angels to be active. And friends, God is active today. There's reports in our lifetime, nearly 400,000 people turning to follow Jesus in Algeria, quite possibly 6 million people turning to follow Jesus in Indonesia. How did that happen? Who told them? I don't know. God didn't issue a press release. He just quietly did it. And on the individual level, God's work can happen quietly, without fanfare, in your life. I think back to when I first put my trust in Jesus. I'd grown up learning about Jesus. I knew the Christmas story. But until age 7, I hadn't come to know Jesus personally. One day, my Sunday school teacher told me, if I confess my sins to God and ask Jesus to come in and change my heart, then he will. So that night, quietly, at home, by myself, I prayed and accepted Jesus' offer of forgiveness. At the time, I don't remember really telling anybody. And there were certainly no visions of angels and miracles. But what a change Jesus made for me and the whole direction of my life. See, there's a difference between just knowing about Jesus and actually accepting him in your heart. The people of Nazareth, they knew about him. They knew his family. They probably come and did bits and pieces in their houses. But did they accept him? They were so close, the people of Nazareth, so familiar, yet somehow so far. They knew who Jesus was, but they didn't trust that he could be their teacher and their master and their saviour. This Christmas, you've been introduced yet again to Jesus. Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, who was a teacher from Nazareth, who died for sins and rose again. You know who he is? The real question this Christmas is, will you accept him? Will you accept him in your heart? I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is enough for us, that we can lean on him and rest in him. Father, we pray for one another as we go our different ways today. Father, as we spend time on the roads today, please give us safety. Father, as we spend time with family and friends, please give us peace. Please give us patience. Please give us joy as we celebrate. Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.